Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Now that I've had the opportunity to peek behind the curtain and understand how the three-tier system actually works because of the Prideful Goat, I have a very real fear that the best whiskey you would have ever tried will never make it into your glass because the system is broken. Consumers are often shocked when they find out about the hurdles producers face trying to get their whiskey to the market. If you want to peek behind the curtain and red pill yourself, then stick around. Before we get started, I do have to thank our patrons. We do have a Patreon where individuals can decide to support this channel financially on a monthly basis. And everybody's name that is on your screen right now is contributing at the top three levels. And those individuals, along with everybody else, help keep this channel going. If you want to learn more about how to join Patreon and support us, you can stick around till the end. Now, let's get started with some disclaimers. Most of what I'm going to share in this video sounds derogatory towards the three-tier system, and I've had good and bad experiences with wholesalers and large retailers over the years. So even when I've had a bad experience, there were always good-hearted individuals that worked in roles that may be getting a bad rap when there was little to nothing that they could do to resolve the issue. So keep all that in mind. If we've ever worked together, I'm not trying to trash you. I'm just trying to educate the public about what it's like out there. So first off, the three-tier system in brief. You have at the top the supplier or the producer, and those are individuals that have in the whiskey world a distilled spirits plants license, a DSP license, and they are able to either make or bottle whiskey. Then in the middle, you have wholesalers slash distributors, and those are individuals who handle sales, warehousing, and logistics. And you have to have one of those individuals in each state if you are a supplier or producer. And then at the third tier, you have on and off-premise accounts. A off-premise account is where you buy alcohol there, but you are not allowed to drink it on the premises. And then an on-premise account would be like a bar or a restaurant. So off-premise is usually a retail store. Bars and restaurants are on-premise. You buy the alcohol and you consume it there, and you're typically not allowed to leave with it, with obvious exceptions. The one main exception to the three-tier system, because the supplier has to sell to the wholesaler and the wholesaler sells to on and off-premise accounts. In some states, there's four tiers. You sell to the off-premise account, and then the off-premise account sells to the on-premise account, and that's how it works in Texas. But just to keep it simple, we're gonna keep it with those three tiers. So you've got the supplier, the wholesaler, and the on and off-premise. The only time when a supplier is allowed to sell directly to on and off-premise accounts, and it's only off-premise accounts, is in Washington, D.C. Producers are allowed to skip the wholesale tier in Washington, D.C., and to my knowledge, that's the only state where that is allowed. Generally speaking, producers are prohibited from selling direct to consumers, and when it is allowed, it is onerously restricted. They're not allowed to ship the bottles. The consumer has to pick them up in person. They're only allowed to buy so many bottles over a certain period of time and that type of thing. And those rules are determined at the state level. So there's rules all over the place with regard to that. So the current state of the distributor system. The three-tier system was set up post-Prohibition, and it pretty much remains unchanged today. So in the 1930s, all of these rules were put into place. Despite all of the technological advances that have happened since the 1930s, everything is relatively the same, and I believe that we could have come up with some better systems and processes by now. But post-Prohibition, many of the players in the alcohol space were bootleggers who had massive amounts of money, and they went legal after Prohibition ended. And it's my opinion that these unscrupulous individuals with so much wealth were able to influence the system to set it up in such a way that it would protect their financial economic prospects in the future, and didn't really focus on what would be good for consumers and new businesses. They wanted to make sure that it was hard for new businesses to get started so that they didn't lose market share, and they wanted to take away consumer choice so that consumers only had the opportunity to do business with them so they could continue to line their pockets. And the industry right now is like an hourglass. At the top, you have all of the suppliers and producers. And at the bottom, you have all of the on and off premise accounts. But in the middle, you've got a skinny section, and that's the wholesale tier. And they are the pinch point. And they are the ones, believe it or not, that are deciding what it is that you're going to drink as a consumer, because they're the ones that pick the winners and the losers and decide who's going out of business and who is going to move forward and grow and be successful. With some very rare exceptions that typically cost a lot more money than the average new business has. The wholesalers effectively have a government monopoly, and they face no consequences when they fail to perform their role when they're working for a small producer, because even if the small producer is allowed to fire them, which is not always allowed, in some states you're not allowed to get rid of your wholesaler. They're called franchise states, and once you pick one, you're pretty much stuck with them unless you go through an expensive legal battle, and most times that legal battle is so costly it would bankrupt the small producer, so they just have to stick with somebody even if they're not doing their job. But even if you could fire them and hire somebody else, these problems are so pervasive throughout the industry that there's no expectation that you would get a different result if you switch to a different wholesaler. So the largest wholesalers are many times the size of the largest producers. So I don't know if y'all remember, but RNDC, which is the first or second largest, or used to be the first or second largest wholesaler in the United States, they were about a $12 billion company when Sazerac Corporation fired them and hired beer distributors all around the country to replace the services that they were providing. And at the time, Sazerac was only about a $1 billion a year company. So you can see that wholesaler was 12 times the size of the distillery that we all revere and chase after their products. Wholesalers are well-funded, and they are under the protection of the federal government. They have large sums of money that they can fund trade organizations and lobby groups to produce consumer research reports that are very biased. If there seems to be a challenge to, for instance, their ability to be the single source of alcohol in the market, like somebody saying, hey, we think that these whiskey producers should be able to ship their product directly to consumers, what they call direct-to-consumer shipping. Well, they'll go out and they'll hire a research group to do a survey, and they'll release survey results that say that they called a representative number of mothers in the United States and ask them if they think the three-tier system should change. And they say, oh, the reports say that 100% of moms say that the three-tier system needs to stay in place. And that is a silly thing for somebody to say, because 100% of moms have no idea what a three-tier system is or what it does or how it functions, and there'd be no way for them to legitimately answer that question. And it would be very easy for the researcher to phrase the question in such a way that the mom felt like she was going to be a bad mother and expose her child to danger if she didn't answer the question in a particular way. And I believe that's probably how they got that research result. But they have the money to do that type of thing. And they do it anytime they think that there is a potential legislative change that they view as potentially damaging to their future economic prospects. This is why, despite abundant evidence that consumers want more choice, producers want cheaper distribution options, and that technology has evolved to a place that would make it all reasonable and safe, and the governments could collect all of their taxes, there still hasn't really been much change, because the wholesalers are strong, they're powerful, they have a lobbying money, and they make sure that there is no change in the system. Welcome back to Pretentious Whiskey Reviews. Today, we're evaluating the 1982 Pappy Van Winkle. Ooh. I'm detecting a hint of Bolivian virgin tears and East Indian, no, West Indian grasses.
Y'all, you don't need all that crap. All you need is an American whiskey aroma kit from bourbonrolltalk.com. Developing your palate is a learned skill. Over time, you can train your taste buds without being a douchebag. Get yours today at bourbonrolltalk.com.
I'm also getting Indian nutmeg. So let's talk about some of the financial information so that you can understand how all this works. We're going to be talking about some industry averages. So on average, a producer tries to have a 35% margin on the products that they're selling. So they'll take their cost and effectively divide by 65%. And that results in what they want to sell the product for, because when they sell something for a dollar, they want 35% to be gross profit. At the wholesale tier, wholesalers typically operate on around a 30% margin. And at the retail tier, retailers typically operate at around a 30% margin. And of course, some businesses operate with more or less, but these are industry averages. So when you run the numbers on a bottle of whiskey that costs, say, $100, here's kind of how it breaks down. The retailer makes $30 gross profit. The wholesaler makes $21 gross profit. And the producer makes $17 gross profit. So as you can see, on average, the wholesaler and the retailer make more money per bottle than the producer does. The wholesaler's job is to handle sales. So it's their job to go out and represent the product, to on and off premise accounts, and try to convince those individuals to purchase that product. They also are responsible for warehousing the product in that geographical location so that they can get it delivered out to the different individuals that purchase. And they are responsible for logistics and delivery, which is why they make the money that they do. Now let's talk about what everybody's motivations are, because depending on how big or small you are and what tier you're at, you might have different motivations. So small producers basically just want access to consumers so that they can build their brands. But under current three-tier system laws, they're not allowed to do it without a wholesaler. And wholesalers have an incentive to agree to represent brands that they actually do not have capacity to service. And that's what they call back-shelving a product. Small producers would like to be able to sell to on and off premise accounts and direct to consumers until their brand was big enough that it justified hiring a wholesaler and giving up that margin. But currently, that's not allowed. And this would, if that change were to be implemented, be great for the economy, because it would be a boon to small businesses, more capital would flow in, there'd be more employment and things like that. And so there's a lot of incentive for governments to approve that, but the possibility of potentially changing the way that the governments collect their taxes and then also fighting against the big powerful lobby of the wholesalers makes it so that those changes have never really been, you know, honestly considered. Occasionally, there'll be a grassroots movement to change the three-tier system funded by small producers, and they may fight for things like distillery sales or direct-to-consumer shipping, but often the brand's wholesaler threatens to backshelf them if they continue to support the movement. So I am personally aware of a relatively large brand that got involved in one of these movements during COVID because the restrictions put on the distilleries by the government during COVID was actually kind of dangerous and put them at risk of going out of business. And so they started to fight for direct to consumer shipping, and their wholesaler said, hey, if you want to continue to receive the sales and support that you've gotten from us in the past, you need to stop participating in this movement because we're not cool with that. And that is the kind of undue pressure that these large businesses are able to put on small producers that should be illegal. And it probably is, but the reality is they'd never report it because in the end, it would just end up causing them a whole lot of problems for their brand. Now, larger producers operate on a scale that's not possible without distributors. There's no way that they could maintain inventory in as many places as they would need to with shipping trucks and all of that stuff to supply all of the customers that want their product. So they're very happy with the three-tier system. And they also don't relish the idea of smaller producers having an equal playing ground for them to go out and potentially steal business away from them and sell them some of their products instead of them only having the option of getting the large producers' products that are on the local shelf. And for that reason, the large producers are usually on the side of the wholesalers. Now, the actual sales force for the wholesalers work off commission. And in theory, you would think that that commission would motivate them to put in a lot of effort for all the brands that they represent. But as it turns out, all of these different wholesalers, because there's so few of them compared to the number that would be required to provide the kinds of services that would be necessary to service all of the small new producers that have come into the market, that each individual salesperson has a book of business in a territory large enough that they can pretty much make 90% of their money representing 10% of the products that they...
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We're supposed to be selling. And so what happens with that other 90%, right? And so once that retailer gets established in their territory and they can make their sales goals with just call-in orders, they don't really have a huge incentive to go out and promote the new brands that they're supposed to be representing. And if they want to make more money, they're probably not going to focus on your little bitty brand, because there is an insidious practice in the industry where after the producer agrees to sell the product to the wholesaler at a price that the wholesaler is actually making more money per bottle than the producer is, if the producer wants the salespeople to pay attention to the brand and actually go out and represent it, they're expected to provide additional funding as bonuses and incentives to those salespeople so that they'll actually go out and represent the product. And so that leaves producers in a situation where they have to pay for the sales effort once. And then if they actually want the work done, they have to pay for the sales effort a second time. And those are the brands that get focused on by the sales team whenever they decide that they want to make more money than they can make off of just their call-in orders, because they make more money per transaction. And the problem is, as soon as you stop paying that fee, it's kind of like negotiating with the terrorist, right? And as soon as you stop paying that fee, they stop focusing on your brand and move off to someplace else. And that creates problems for small producers, because if you pay the money to get the salespeople to go out and get you shelf space, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a reorder, even if the product sells well, because that store is being pressured to buy another new product that producer paid a sales bonus for that month of representation, and there's not enough space. And so your product sells out, now there's space on the shelf, and the salesperson, instead of going, hey, why don't you reorder this small producer's product, they go, hey, I've got this shiny new nickel I'd like for you to pay attention to. So the solution for a small producer, or one of the solutions, is to give an exclusive to a really large retailer. Okay, so sometimes what will happen is a large retailer will have a special relationship with the wholesaler who actually doesn't do sales. They just do, it's like a pass-through. And so you can go to a really large retailer and say, hey, here's the SRP of my product. If you have somebody special in the wholesale tier that we can pass this through to make it legal, you'll be able to buy it at a much lower price than would otherwise be normal. And you get to keep all of that margin. And then that retail store will educate its sales staff to focus on selling that product because it has the highest profit margin. And that's why whenever you go to stores like Total Wine and you ask for Blanton's, they will tell you that Chestnut Farms is effectively the same thing and try to sell you that bottle, when really it's $17.92 at $20 more per bottle and a lower proof. And so a lot of your experience as consumers when you go into these larger retail stores is affected by the way that the three-tier system works, because the retailer focuses on the brands that give them the highest profit margin. But let's say that you don't want to, you know, have this special relationship and give a really large retailer a exclusive relationship for your brand, and you want to grow organically across all of the potential retailers that are in that market. You may have to hire your own salespeople at the expense of your production company to supplement the efforts of the wholesale reps who are not doing the job that they are supposed to be paid for to do. And let me say this, the wholesale reps have way too many brands. There is no possible way the wholesale reps could effectively do their jobs, because the overlords at those companies take on more brands than they could ever possibly represent, while at the same time gatekeeping the opportunity for other producers to find other paths to market. They want to maintain that monopoly, but they don't want to do the work, and they don't want to hire enough salespeople to actually do the work. And even if they did, there probably isn't enough shelf space in liquor stores or at bars. So the problem with hiring your own sales rep is that it's very expensive. Sales reps want to get paid. They want a base salary. They can't be everywhere all the time, so you have to pay a lot of travel expenses. You have to pay for a hotel and airfare and all of these things. And then they get bonuses whenever they perform at their job. And most companies don't have the kind of money to pay for that after they've given up so much margin to the wholesale tier to get that very same job done. And so if you're a smaller company and you can't afford a wholesale rep and your wholesaler isn't doing the sales job for you, your other option is to hire a business entity called a broker, which is effectively kind of like a timeshare version of a sales force. And so a broker will have a number of sales reps that work in a particular area, and you get fractional ownership of them. So they're representing multiple brands. So they're kind of just doing the sales portion that should have been done by the wholesaler. And not only is that very expensive, so last time I looked into it, it was going to raise the bottle price for about 25% for the consumers. But it's a profession that should probably not exist if the three-tier system wasn't broken, because you're already paying somebody to do that job. So paying somebody else to do the job and then not getting a discount from the wholesaler because they didn't do the sales, it's insane, and it wouldn't work in any other industry. Now, you may be thinking, hey, I've seen some new brands hit the market and they took off like wildfire. And, you know, why don't all the brands do that? And that might be because, not because it's the best product on the market or even the best price, but because they were so well funded. And there have been some pretty famous examples in the last few years of large spirits companies coming into the market, taking over market share, and then selling at a huge multiple to one of the large conglomerates. And it turns out that they were purposefully operating at a loss. And so when you go into a market, everybody who's supposed to represent your product wants to know what your AMP budget is. That stands for advertising, marketing, and promotion. And if you have a large enough AMP budget, you are the hot girl at the party. Everybody wants to sit down and talk with you, because they know that they're going to have a real easy time selling your product, and they know that you're just going to keep pumping money into their pockets. And so I actually heard about a brand that's AMP budget was larger than their per bottle sales price. So for every dollar that they sold the product for, they were losing over another dollar just paying for advertising, marketing, and promotion. And their goal was to lose $100 million in the first 5 years of operation. They did it. At the end of 5 years, they sold for $350 million. The person that financed that understood how this market works and understood that if you want to get in and you want to be successful in this market, you just have to have massive amounts of cash. So for any small producer with little to no AMP budget, it is a struggle just to get attention for your brand. And all of these problems have been made worse by the industries consolidating, right? Because all of these wholesalers keep buying each other. And each time they do that, there is a wholesale rep that loses their job. But that portfolio is still supposed to be managed by somebody. And so all of those small producers that were probably already not getting enough attention from that rep have now been handed over to another person who has an even larger load of work on their plate when they couldn't do the job to begin with. And more small brands get put at the back of the list of priority every time there is a merger. All of this is why it is entirely possible that the best whiskey you would have ever tasted will never make its way into your glass. The solution is for consumers to demand that their representatives provide options for small businesses to get their products to market. Things like direct-to-consumer shipping, unlimited distillery sales, access to sell directly to on and off-premise accounts would revolutionize the industry, level the playing field for small producers so that they're not fighting these giant conglomerates that they have no hope of competing with, and it would provide consumers with the choice that they actually deserve. So hopefully that sheds some light on why it is so difficult, and also part of the reason why you don't see me trash a lot of small brands on this channel. I respect the effort that they're having to put forth. Now, my brand, The Prideful Goat, is facing all of these problems, and we can't afford to hire sales reps all across the country, and the brokers are just adding too much to our bottle cost. And so we are going to be launching a program where you can sign up to be a part-time ambassador for The Prideful Goat. Basically, the way that it's going to work is we're going to put you through a quick training program. We're going to have you do an online test, and after you pass, you'll get your swag bag with all the stuff that you need to be able to represent the Prideful Goat properly. We're going to give you access to a database where you can call into our existing points of distribution, find out how things are going, and schedule in-store tastings. You might even be able to do what we call a work with, where you ride along with a sales rep from the wholesaler and they introduce you and give you the opportunity to pitch. And for each element of work that you do that is productive to the Prideful Goat, you will be compensated for it. And I suspect there will be some individuals that get in there and really light the world on fire and turn that into a full-time gig. And the next thing you know, you've worked yourself into a really fun career simply because you had a passion and you love the brand. So if you want more information about that, the program is not launched yet. You cannot sign up today, but there is a link that you can click in the video description to put your name on the waiting list. And whenever the program launches, we'll be reaching out to the individuals that are particularly in states that we're trying to target. And we will get you started so that we can get you educated and make sure that you're ready to go out there and have a good time, but also do a good job and be productive. So I'm going to give away some whiskey, as I always do. Since we were talking about the three-tier system, I thought that we would give away some Prideful Goat. So I'm going to give away 3 1-ounce sample packs of all the bottles that you see up here on the table right now. We've got our 6-year Prideful Goat bourbon. We have our 6-year Prideful Goat rye, our 8-year Prideful Goat rye, our rum finish rye, our 15-year bourbon, which has been sold out for the last 2 years, and our single barrel 8-year. We only did 1 8-year single barrel, and we're going to give out a sample of that as well. All you have to do to enter this free giveaway is like this video, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell to be notified of future content and future giveaways, and fill out the web form in the video description. We will get your basic contact information, run a randomizer, post it publicly online, reach out to the winners, and get your shipping details and send your bottles out to you absolutely for free. If you want to support this channel because you like this content, we want to let you know we do have a Patreon, as we mentioned earlier. There are a lot of member benefits to joining Patreon, including bonus content, special offers, distillery takeovers, barrel picks, in-person meetups, monthly virtual bottle shares, discounts on merchandise, and the satisfaction of knowing that you support the channel and its mission. And we do have membership levels for all budgets. And so far, we've never done a single barrel where even the lowest tier wasn't able to buy however many bottles they wanted. So Go and check that out. If you aren't interested in a monthly donation with the additional benefits, you could also go to bourbonrealtalk.com and check out our merchandise. We have whiskey merchandise made for whiskey people, by whiskey people. I promise you, if you go check it out, you're going to find something you feel like you can't live without. We have so much awesome stuff over there. And then also, my real estate company has subsidized this channel since its inception, and you could consider hiring me as your residential real estate agent in the Dallas or Houston metro areas. If you hire me, I will give you an epic bottle as a closing gift. Now, if this is your first time tuning into the show, we'd love to thank you for the view and let you know what we're all about, and that is bringing people together around whiskey. And connection is something that's important to us because I lost my brother to suicide in 2014. And after his passing and talking with some of his friends, I found that he had lost a lot of the social connections that keep people grounded to this world. And at the same time, as I got more involved in the whiskey world, I saw how whiskey had this magic ability to create those kinds of connections among strangers. And I thought, maybe if I can get you connected to whiskey, the whiskey will do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. So we started this channel, and we also started Bourbon Real Talk Community, which is a free Facebook-based whiskey enthusiast forum that doesn't allow any troll behavior. There's no negativity or hate being spewed in there. We knew we needed to do that because we researched what other, you know, community opportunities were available online, and we did see a lot of whiskey trolls, and we saw a lot of hate. And so we made an environment that doesn't have that. But not only did the trolls teach us that we needed to create a good space for people to connect, but they also taught us that if they're able to hate people online, hate strangers online, we're able to love strangers online. And that's why we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that I love you. And I'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.